The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everything, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, but he has made him known." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen.
Well, Merry Christmas. This is the first Sunday, and actually this year the only Sunday in the season of Christmas. On this sixth day of Christmas, I was tempted to break out in song. Here it comes, it's the father joke.
No.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my priest preached to me the gospel of the incarnation. Okay. I will try again. I will not try again. But it is the sixth day of Christmas. We in our church year, we celebrate Christmas for 12 days from the 25th to the 5th of January. And on the 6th, we begin celebrating Epiphany, the glory of the light of Christ going to all nations. But on this Sunday, we talk about the incarnation, the Word that became flesh. So what does it mean that the Word became flesh? Well, Luke tries to talk about it from the story of the angel coming and kind of the how that happens. Mark completely ignores it and just starts with John appearing in the wilderness. Matthew speaks of it from the perspective of Joseph. Today we read in the Gospel of John this mystical look, this poetic look of Jesus as both the Son of God and man. We begin with the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God from the very beginning. And then the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. John combines a Greek look at the world, that all of the world around us is ordered together according to a logic, a logos, the Word that binds all things together. Now then, the Greek philosophers didn't know the God that we knew, but they looked around and they said, something ordered this, and they called it logos. And John says, that logos, that logic, that binding of all creation is in Christ. The logos was with God and the logos was God. And that logos became a person. And he ties in with that, the wisdom tradition that we read in the Hebrew Bible of pursuing wisdom and that personification of what it means to live righteously and in wisdom with the Creator God. You know, we also bind in some of this look at Torah. And Torah, if we look at it, the law that was given through Moses is an instruction on how a people chosen by God can live in the presence of a holy God. And those rules are saying, How can this people, this community that has been brought forth and God has made his name among them, how can they survive in the presence of a holy God? And of course, we know from the stories that it's impossible for Israel to keep law enough to survive with the holy God. And yet we see these instances where the glory of God is with Israel in the desert, in a pillar of fire, in a column of cloud, as the Shekinah glory enters into the temple and flows out from the temple. We see that the presence of God indeed can be with man. But now what we have in Christ, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. No longer is the Word of God confined into the dwelling of the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple in Jerusalem, but the Word of God actually becomes human. You know, and then we all are given the right to be called the children of God, not by flesh, but of spirit. This is a look forward to Pentecost as the Spirit of God is poured upon all people. So we see in here not just the doctrine of the incarnation, the Word made flesh, but also the Trinity working together. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Spirit carries the Word, the breath of God carries the Word, and that breath of God is breathed into us as life through Pentecost. Now, this is all kind of confusing. How can Jesus be man and God? And the church argued about how that could happen for 450 years of the church's existence. For the first 450 years that we had a church, we argued about how that looked until the Council of Chalcedon. And then they came up with the words that put that together in theological speak that basically said, it's a mystery, but in Jesus, we have fully God and fully human, unconfused, they're not mixed together, not a hybrid, and they're undiluted. It's not half God, half man, but fully God and fully man in the same person. And that's still kind of hard to understand. And so if we look again at the fathers, at the church fathers that were in this argument, from the human side, it's important to know that Christ is fully human. And Gregory of Nazianzus, I never can say it, but Gregory, one of the church fathers, says, what was not assumed was not redeemed. And so whenever we try to make Jesus less human and more holy, we say that there's a part of the humanity that wasn't redeemed. But Jesus was fully human and redeemed all of our humanity. Athanasius looked at the divinity of God and said, God became man so that man could become God. Let that sink in a little bit. God became man so that man could become God. We don't really like to contemplate that because we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see the fullness of our humanity and say, oh, no, I can't do that. But as we look at what we call ourselves, we are the body of Christ. We become together the fullness of the image of God. And we do that through Christ, the God-man, fully human and fully God. It is a mystery of the incarnation, a mystery of the both and, that we are both, that Jesus is both fully human and fully God. So what does that mean to us today? That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, the first thing that it means is that God isn't confined to heaven. God put on human flesh and dwelt among us. That means that the Christian life is not about when I die, I go to heaven. But that the Christian life is about while I am here, I am conformed and formed into Christ-likeness. I live the eternal life now, not sometime later. That the fullness of life is available to us as sons and daughters of God. It also means that the physical is important. You know, Jesus will go on to say, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God so loved the world, the cosmos, the created order. God loved you and you and you, and God loved the plants and the trees and the animals and all of created order. Enough that he put on creation, the creation that he made, and dwelt here among us. So we look and we say, what is about me and what is about you is important. What is about the earth is important and is loved by God. Jesus also came that we might experience life. He says in his high priestly prayers, he sits with his disciples, he says, and I came that they may know life. And this is eternal life, that they know the Father through him who he sent. That knowing, that intimacy with God and with Christ is eternal life. We are called to know him, know God through Christ by the Holy Spirit. You know, John bookends his gospel with this great poem of the incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he concludes the gospel by saying, and all of this is written so that in believing it, you may have life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we might know life in the here and now, in our physical reality, not just in our spiritual times, but in our day-to-day life. We have that both-and mystery of the incarnation in ourselves. We look and we see that we are both broken and healed, both sinner and saint. That we are at times both dead in sin and alive in Christ. We see that at the same time we are both totally unlovable and yet fully loved. This is the mystery of the incarnation in us. It's why we pray in the daily office, we say, and apart from your grace, there is no health in us. In our prayer of humble access, we pray, and apart from your grace, we are not worthy. We live a life filled with grace, even in our own brokenness and despair. We are both filled with grace and totally hopeless at the same time. The mystery of the incarnation in us. We also encounter the mystery of the incarnation at the table. You know, the other great debate of the church is, what does it mean when we say, this is the body of Christ given for you, this is the blood of Christ shed for the sins of the world? Isn't it just bread? Or is it something else? And the church has argued on either side of that, and there are good arguments all through it, of whether it's just bread and it's a remembrance, or whether there's something truly special that is conveyed in that. And I think that the incarnation gives us a beautiful window into what happens at this table. You know, Jesus says to the crowd in Capernaum, he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, there is no life in you. I think since Jesus said it, we ought to believe it, and that in some way we experience life at this table as we feast on his flesh and drink of his blood. But how does that work? I think that the incarnation, the both and mystery of the incarnation, helps give us a window into how this might be. That the bread is both fully bread and fully body. That the wine is both fully wine and fully blood. And that in that great mystery, we understand, and we understand here at a level that is far beyond here, that we have encountered the Word made flesh, and the bread made flesh in the Eucharist. In that way, we experience the great communion of saints. In a way that Athanasius said, God became man so that man could become God. We become with God in the Eucharist and in our life together. So as we leave, what does it mean for us, as the body of Christ to be the Word made flesh in the world around us. You know, in the upper room, Jesus prays over the disciples, and he prays over us. He says, "And I pray for these and all who may believe through them, that they may be one just as you and I are one, Father, and that they may dwell in us and we in them." We echo that prayer in the Eucharist as we pray to dwell in him and he dwell in us. It's that mystery of the church in the incarnation. That the church is both fully human and fully divine. The church expresses its humanity in all of its brokenness, and its divinity in all of its blessedness. And that is the community of believers. Our life together in Christ draws us to the table to encounter Christ. And our life together sends us from the table in the mission of Christ. That mission that we hear in our gospel today, to be a light to all peoples, and to bring into being grace and truth. We bring the grace and truth of Christ into existence in the world around us as the incarnation. We are the continuation of that mystery. And for some of us, I think it is more of a mystery than with others. But we are called to bring grace and truth, to live a life of grace upon grace in the presence and being of the God who loved us enough to put on our flesh and dwell among us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.